Well, if you're going to get up there and perform, if you're going to say something, then have something to say. And the only way you're really going to do that and it be genuine is put together your own stuff. Work through all of the hard times that that will bring and get to a place where you can have that genuine self-expression.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the Charlotte music scene. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So each weekday during the month of September, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, we'll hear from a Latin funk band who want to break down Charlotte's silos through groovin' music. That's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you introduce yourselves and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Anthony Rodriguez. I do lead vocals and bass for Soganic.
And I'm Corey McClure. I do drums, percussion, and keyboard production, actually, for Soganic.
How long have you guys been playing music together?
Wow. It's been easily more than 10 years by now.
Yeah.
Because our first album came out in 07. So we were playing together about a year and a half before that.
Yeah, so yeah. About 05, 06.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did Soulganic get started?
It got started through jam sessions. Our guitarist, Ryan McKeithen, and I, we've known each other for 20 years and have been playing together and performing together. And over time, different open mic sessions and jam sessions, and eventually the group coalesced to what it is now, the four of us.
And Corey?
I was actually working for a mortgage company in their collections department.
Because Corey liked to get that money.
Yeah, got to do that. And a guy that was working in the mailroom by the name of Tim, I can't think of his last name, he's actually an acoustic guitar player around town locally. And he told me to go to this website listing for a band looking for a drummer. And at the time, I was actually playing drums and wasn't doing too much keyboard playing around town. So I responded to them, and I auditioned.
Yeah, and you know, he was the first and last audition. The listing, I remember the listing, it said that you have to be able to hold your own in the pocket, but also have
was a criteria.
Yeah, and also have the strength to solo.
Yes.
And he came in, and it was like he had been playing with us forever. It was just magic.
So let's go back all the way back to how you all started in music on your own. I mean, I'm sure there's some music moment in your childhoods that made you realize this is what you wanted to do for a living.
There was. My earliest musical memory was sitting on the floor in our apartment in the Bronx, holding the LP of Stevie Wonder's Talking Book.
I
would just stare at it forever. And from that point, it was like music, music, music.
What about you, Corey?
Growing up in the church, I've been exposed to music kind of all of my life. But just like with Anthony, my father was a singer in the church and a minister. I remember as a kid, he would listen to Stevie Wonder day in and day out. And he told me by 2 years old, I was able to whistle some of the tunes. It was crazy. So I think when it kind of clicked for me, I attended a Jill Scott concert, and a friend of mine was actually in her band. I was still working a 9-to-5, and I was kind of exposed to the tour life and somewhat of the, you know, playing behind a major artist. So I got a chance to see what it was like, and I was like, oh, man, I think this is really what I want to do.
I guess I should ask, with Corey being a Charlotte native, mm-hmm. Anthony, how did you find yourself in Charlotte?
It was a family relocation deal, and it became a home. It really did.
Was that in your teenage years, your young adult years?
It was, yeah. Still in high school, came down to Charlotte from the Bronx, which is...
Totally the same.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just hit the ground running. There's no adjustment period.
But seriously, there probably was an adjustment period.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of my many sources of trauma. But yeah, and the culture was much different, to say the least. And then Charlotte, back then in the 90s, was not what it is today. It was much less metropolitan, much more closed-minded. But you adjust and learn how to bloom.
Was music one of your ways to bloom in Charlotte after moving down here?
Yeah, absolutely. And music is this form of self-expression that's incredibly intimate. At the same time, it gives an opportunity to share. And you get out there, you share a little bit of who you are, and then you enjoy what people share about themselves. And it can make it feel like home.
How did Soulganic come about?
Well, the original name for the band was Organic Soul. Mm-hmm. And Anthony, through his amazing wits, decided to change the name. Now, how he came about changing the name, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, there was some legal stuff.
Ah.
Yeah. At the time, there was this compilation CD series entitled Organic Soul. And there were people reaching out to us thinking they were getting one thing and realizing, oh, you're something different. And to kind of prevent any litigation, we said, you know what, let's press pause and think what we can do from here. And Ryan, our guitarist, was the one who presented the name Soulganic to the band, just kind of putting it together. And we were all happy with that, as far as the name is concerned, yeah.
It was different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were looking for something that people could hear instantly and get an image mentally of perhaps what they were going to experience, and, which is a little tricky because sometimes with band names, something more obscure so that you have more creative freedom. But doing what we wanted to do, we felt, no, we have to put it out there and let people get hit with that first, because what we do bring is different. It is different.
When did, Organic Soul start?
That started with Ryan and myself, and
you're talking about Ryan.
Ryan McKeithen, mm-hmm. our guitarist, yes, and myself, doing some cover arrangements and performances, and then our current percussionist Lucas, he joined us impromptu on stage one day. He just so happened to have his congas in his car. I think he just rides around with them, ready to just lay waste to the land with his incredible skills. But and from there, that was Organic Soul. And we were really coalescing and honing the chops together, trying to figure out different musical ideas. Yeah.
How did your experience as a musician inform the creation, the sound of, at the time, Organic Soul?
It was based in things that we all enjoyed listening to. There were things, obviously, Stevie Wonder, Bill Withers, Jason Mraz, Soul Live, D'Angelo, Maxwell, all of those, we were just kind of throwing covers together. Norah Jones, even. And that informed that initial direction. But then once we settled onto the current quartet, about a year and a half into it, then we approached it with the philosophy, wait a minute, we're putting all this time and effort into learning other people's songs. So why don't we just make our own? And that led to some interesting sound experiments. And it's a very collaborative process. So Ryan or myself may come up with a riff or a phrase or melodic progression. But then with the other guys and what they bring, it can just morph into something absolutely different.
We were supposed to go and find ourselves a better life. We were gonna learn and grow and leave behind the city life. But I returned and you are right there where I left you. And now you're crying, worrying about your savior coming to get you.
We refer to it as funky indie soul with a Latin twist, if we had to.
Well, the Latin twist part is what I think makes you all stand out from the music pack. It really puts a different twist on, you know, the genre of soul. So I'm wondering, where did that line of musical thought come into play with the band?
I think with Lucas and myself, well, Lucas is directly from Puerto Rico, and my family is from Puerto Rico. And growing up with that influence and Lucas being so steeped in that tradition, it bled into it very easily, organically, to kind of play into it. Right?
So organically.
Couldn't resist. But, okay, like if you think back, traditionally in what could be termed soul music, even the very beginnings of it, going back into the 40s and the 50s with bebop, let's say, they were introducing Latin percussion even back then. You take it through the generations, Curtis Mayfield was a genius at doing that. Stevie Wonder brought those elements in, and on and on. What we have tried to do, whether consciously or subconsciously, take it and just amp it up just a little bit, make it more present, and make it more integral to our sound.
Coming up, Soulganic on diversifying Charlotte's mix and how you can help. Don't miss it on Amplifier. Hey, Amplifier friends. If I were to create a recipe for today's podcast, I would say it's 1 cup of good Charlotte music, 2 dashes of conversation, and the biggest ingredient of all, you. While you might not hear your voice in today's episode, you made it possible with your support. That's because WFAE is powered by listener support, by member support, by you. So if you value this podcast and you want to continue this music discovery experience, then I encourage you to take 1 minute and make a donation in the name of Charlotte Music. A pledge of $5 or $10 or $10 a month can support this series. No matter how much you give, it will matter. Just hit the donate button right now on WFAE.org. Thank you for powering Amplifier. Now, let's get back to her interview with Soulganic. Maybe I'm not getting that sense as much listening to, you know, 21st Century Soul, but I don't hear that combination of cultures and sounds as much today. Would you say that's fair? Are you hearing that too?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has their tribe, and they stick to the tribe that is going to benefit them the most, you know. And you see that across the board with all types of music. That's one thing from the very beginning, for instance, when Corey came into the fold, that's one thing we had a conversation about. This is not the place for ego. This is not the place for personal agendas. This is going to be collaborative in every respect. And we hope we've stayed true to that. And maybe that's what you're hearing. Not to forsake one person's roots or expression for another's, but let's put it all forward and see how it can blend.
So that's something that I think Charlotte is still wrestling with, is identity. Mm-hmm. And how you know, spoiler alert, I've only been in Charlotte now for about a year, so I've only gotten surface level sense of this. But in my eyes, it seems like there are still divisions, there's still neighborhoods, there's still certain sections where you can find this kind of person or this kind of sound. And the blending of it is not seen as much.
Yeah, we can see that. Our audience has tended to be diverse. And yet still, if for the purposes of quick classification or marketing, others have just lumped us in with what's traditionally African-American music. And so that would be the largest base of our audience. But we do feel like, okay, maybe we've been able to bring some of the disparate elements in to listen to a common thing and share this experience. As far as your comments in Charlotte, yeah, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. There are deep divisions for some very valid reasons, you know? And at the same time, with a place like Charlotte that tends to be transient in some respects, but also a place where a lot of transplants are coming in from various areas, there may be a reluctance to kind of experience someone else's history or reality, even. You know, okay, you're coming down from Cleveland where you're going to find your fellow Ohioans, and you're just going to do whatever you did up there, down here. Mm. Same thing with people from New York, let's say. And so perhaps we would like to think, hope, dream, that our music is breaking down a little bit of that. But there are bigger issues than just people grooving to Soulganic.
It's a lot of truth in that, because I've had the opportunity and playing in a lot of places. And what you see is that there are certain types of music or genres of music that's played in certain parts of the city. Like, if you want to hear what we call soul music, it's a certain place in town you can go to hear soul music. If you want to hear top 40s, pop, we have like little pockets. And what you don't see a lot of is those circles coming together. It's like, you know, the people that listen to soul music, they stay with soul music. The people that listen to pop, they stay with pop.
Yeah, and then what happens, like we may start out a set or whatever with some soul. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we are bringing in some maybe blues elements or rock elements, you know, some people's eyes will just glaze over or whatever. Mm-hmm. But some will accept.
Exactly. We've always hoped that our music would kind of open up a conversation to where you're able to listen at the musicality and also kind of understand the direction of the lyrics.
What about you all playing in Charlotte?
As far as gigs are concerned and playing in Charlotte, you find certain individuals that are super supportive and that we're really grateful for. And what has been beautiful in our case is those who have supported us have come from all walks of the Charlotte performance scene, not just the music scene. For instance, two of our most ardent supporters are Blues and JC, who are spoken word artists, but also Joe Kuhlman from the Evening Muse and people like that. The little bit of difficulty that we have experienced in the past has been getting a fair shake of it, because you do have some performers that will just learn other people's tunes, sit there, wherever they sit, charge very little money, and they could bring people in to buy drinks if you're in a smaller venue. And unfortunately, that can undercut a lot of artists that we feel like we're in the same boat with, as far as, again, getting our fair shake for the time and the effort that we would put in.
And I think also the fact that we're an original band is a hard sell a lot of the time.
It is a hard sell because, yeah, people don't know your stuff. They're making an investment. They're taking a risk. And I don't know how much Charlotte is known to be a haven of risk takers in that respect. But to people's credit, some have taken a chance, and hopefully they have really liked what they've heard.
I do want to talk about your latest releases. One of them is your 2014 release, and it's titled Didactic Interstice. Is that right? Didactic Interstice, Equilibria, Volume 1.
Right.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's so ambitious. Like, everybody would give me a hard time. Well, we don't even know how to say that thing, and we're going to release that thing. Well, you know, there's a meaning, man. Yeah. So the concept behind that was sometimes the spaces in between, the interstitial moments, can teach you some hard lessons. And it's going to be rough. It's not going to be gentle about it. It will be didactic with what it rolls out to you. And we like to think, okay, the time and space in between us at times has that opportunity. Well, can we find that equilibria, that state of balance, and move forward from that and grow as individuals, husbands, fathers, musicians?
But we were going through transitions ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Just
births and deaths and
yes,
exactly. Yeah, all kinds of, so. Yeah. It was a mouthful. It was a mouthful even to sum it up. Yeah.
One of the songs off that record that I really enjoy is the song We Will Rise.
I can see the struggles equip me to be a truer version of their reality. And the time has proven our victory. Oh, I can see, yeah, yeah, yeah. The heaven head will have a sky of blue.
So it was meant to be anthemic from the beginning. We were actually thinking of closing the record with that song to end it on this uplifting, positive vibe. But the whole thought behind that is the power of one person expressing to another person that I believe in you, you're not in this alone. Whatever your struggle, whatever challenge, that not only are you gonna rise, but we in this together, we are going to rise. We're going to rise as just a one-on-one friendship. We're going to rise as a community, hopefully as a society, through the power of the human connection.
And that was in 2014 when that record was released with We Will Rise on it. And to think how timely it still is in 2018 and beyond.
Right. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. We did consult our crystal ball. Yes. No, I'm just kidding. No. Perhaps that speaks to just the... I'll tell you another story about that album. There's another song on there, the second track, which is Brother. I wrote that one during the Arab Spring. And the same thing is going on. Still, you know, dissatisfaction with those who hold all the cards and the money. And, you know, perhaps in time there will be large-scale changes. But the human experience is one of a lot of times repeating history. Learning from it, maybe. Or just repeating it for the sake of, maybe. Perhaps that's why it still applies. Maybe one day it won't. Maybe we'll look back and say, oh man, that was prophecy, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like we dreamed, just like we've always dreamed.
How do you see the Charlotte music scene right now? You guys have been playing here now for, what, around a decade, the very least. Mm-hmm. Corey, you've been here even longer,
yes.
Born and raised. But I will say that, Anthony, when you when you first got in touch with me about Soulganic, you said, in regards to Charlotte music, it's a community with some very creative elements weaving through the usual sounding suspects, the disparate in many ways.
There are some really, really talented, motivated, and creative people, artists in general, which bleeds into the music scene. But like I mentioned earlier, everybody has their tribe. And many times it's tough to build bridges and to have all those tribes come together in a really meaningful way.
And to kind of piggyback on that, a lot of the venues where you could go to see live music, they've been shut down, you know, bought out, closed down, what have you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these, a lot of the musicians or artists here in the city really don't have a lot of places where you can play. And the places where, you know, that do have live music, they already have their set bands, if you get what I'm saying. So I don't want to say it's a hard sell for live music, but in a sense it is. It's not often I'm hearing people saying, man, you got to go check out this spot here, man. This is the new banging spot. You can go check this out and check that out. I don't hear that often.
Right. Or check out this new band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Man. You know,
forget
it's,
about
that. Nah, you know, but such and such is playing again, and they'll be playing Monday, Tuesday over here at this place, and Thursday at this place, right. And you can catch them on the weekend also, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, at a wedding.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Or people get really hyped about a major label artist coming through. And
yeah.
Live music in all its forms, I think, is essential for a thriving
that's a
community.
Good point. That's a great point.
But that's also another thing that Charlotte has sort of kind of sliding into that same lane as some other larger areas, Atlanta, et cetera, that unless I hear you on the radio, then you don't count, right? there's much, much less adventurous spirits.
Yeah.
We would really love to see Charlotte embrace the independent and be willing to take chances on creators more so than just simply regurgitators or retreaders. And maybe remember that it's not about who makes it or who's hot at the moment, but whatever anyone is attracted to, then be attracted to that and sustain it. Help it live, and help the next generation coming up to do something similar.
Soulganic's latest record is Didactic Interstice, Equilibria Volume 1. It's available on soulganic.com and wherever fine music is streamed and sold. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode was written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. You can share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations right now on social media. Just follow and tag me. I'm at A Change of Tune. New episodes of Amplifier drop each weekday this September, so make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and wherever you find podcasts. For more Charlotte music chats, including playlists and even a Charlotte music map, visit WFAE.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.